Lesson 3, Segment 3. The premise of the observer is that when we get into a neutral state of mind, we can disengage from our attachment to a story and the feelings we identify with. We step back or up and away in a state of mindfulness, allowing the integrity of whatever it is we're seeing to exist without trying to change anything. The chatterbox exercise was to underline that although our thoughts, feelings, and beliefs could be unruly, we could detach from all judgment, observe them metaphorically, and put them back in their box. We don't judge whether they're useful to us or not. They are there, therefore they exist. We can observe them dispassionately and put them away. We can do this because they belong to us. The box is symbolic of the mind, our mind, sometimes referred to as the monkey mind, the chattering, constant narratives that run through all of us most of the time. Mindful observation is a method of quieting the experience without trying to control the actual thoughts or the content of the box. I find that depending on the day I do it, the thoughts can appear in wildly different forms. One day I get stick figures, another tiny crab creatures, and today I got screaming leaves. The goal is not to care what they are saying. Whether the thoughts are critical or supportive is not the point. They can be saying 10 different things, and your objective is just to pay attention to the fact they exist, not their content. They lose their power to influence you once you step out of your personal identification into a position of neutral witnessing. This takes practice. I studied mindfulness meditation for years, but I wanted to create something that would work quickly, and so I created this exercise as a way to engage active imagination added to a mindfulness practice as it occurs in the envision process. So when you take a client through this exercise, they're generally shocked and amused at the effect, which tends to be immediate. Relief in a short period of time? Well, now you can really get their attention to coach them with your other tools and skills. This is a great way to get them focused if you feel they showed up scattered or overwhelmed. Now, let's circle back to lesson 2 for a bit. The primary question, where am I, enables you to recognize a state of mind as a place you inhabit. You're able to move away from the place because of the position of the observer or traveler. If you are not the place, you're free to go anywhere. This allows you to coach by transcending the need to discuss the details that triggered the emotional experience. Because in the coach-client dialogue, we've distilled to the basic feelings, we're able to reduce the impact of the story details and instead focus on the core of motion, the feelings. The fact we observe the feelings as they're represented by a place, we are immediately transported outside the experience. We look into it instead of identifying with it. We are no longer our feelings. We are the ones looking at them. As I mentioned, we're able to move away without changing anything other than our position and perspective. That's how we become travelers. The observer is the self with a capital S. You may even refer to it as a soul. The timeless, detached you that is above the personality-driven you. You know when you're there, although subtle, you can feel the difference when you're witnessing the contents of your mind as they appear as landscapes, places, or even structures. The first question brings everything into present-time awareness. You feel the feelings now. You summon the bird now. You move now. You recognize you are far away from the starting point now. You see other possibilities to experience from this higher vantage point now. You choose to explore another place now. You experience sanctuary now. You actually could only do this one part of envision and never ask the second two questions and still be profoundly effective. Yet, the second question, when am I, is important if the client continues to replay old patterns that prevent moving forward. It's also beneficial to your coach-client dialogue to identify specifically either A, where the sabotaging story comes from to show the client they are not present, the objective being to disengage the past and empower the potential of the now, or B, bringing them back from projecting too far into the future either by losing touch with present time, by too much focus on ambitions not yet realized, or fear of a replay of old expected failures. We'll go into detail in the next segment about how this works.